It's a great morning. Well, I get to share quickly on the subject of the tithes and offerings before Pastor Tim gives the message this morning. And what I felt in my spirit to share was actually on something that comes from Matthew 26, which is the alabaster box. And that alabaster box, we're going to read it, but the alabaster box was this woman's perfume. It was oil. And it would have been worth a year's wages for this alabaster box that she poured out on Jesus. So let's go to Matthew 26. And we're going to be in verses 6 through 13. Verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you will have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And that last verse, actually, every time I read it, it never gets old. Why was this so important that this has to be preached wherever the gospel is preached, that all over the world? Why is this so important? And I believe it's because there's a key to breakthrough in your life here. That there's a key. If you learn the importance of being able to pour out on the anointing, to be able to pour out on Jesus, to be able to give your best gift, that shows where your heart is. And there's breakthrough in that. When you can give your best gift, your year's wages, yes, it could have been given to the poor. But like Jesus said, the poor will be with you always. That's not going to change. And until we are through and there is a new heaven and a new earth, there will be poor with us always. So there's nothing we're going to do about that. But there's something about being willing to give your all for Jesus. And there's something about giving your most precious gift, your most precious thing. I know for me, my alabaster box that I've given was actually in a time where in Bible school, and I had no money to give. There was no amount of money that I could have given at this time. And we were believing for breakthrough. We were believing for things to happen. And all I had was a gun that I really liked. And it was a gun that I carried on me daily. It was a gun that I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I talked about it all the time. And I started to ask myself, does this thing have me? And when I presented that question, I knew it's time to get rid of this. It's time to sow this. It's time to get rid of this thing that I considered precious to me. And this was right around Thanksgiving of 2022. We were believing for things. We were believing for, you know, in Bible school, I couldn't work full time. So we were believing for rent to be paid and car insurance and groceries and many things. And I called somebody and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they were like, "Well, actually, we were on our way to South Carolina, but our trip got canceled. So now we're back." And I said, "Good. I need to give you something. I need to meet you at the church." So I went and met this person at the church. And I handed it over to him, and I said, this is my alabaster box. This is my greatest gift that I can give." And when I gave it, I actually felt joy and peace that, one, every need would be provided, but two, that I felt that thing lift from me, that thing that was holding me, that thing that, I mean, I always wanted it on me. I always wanted, you know, it was this thing that just had a hold, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But when I realized it, when I let go of it, the joy that came over me and the peace that came over me and the love and the presence of God that came over me, forgiving that and being willing to say, no, Lord, you are more than this thing. It broke something. And, you know, the disciples thought, what's wrong with this? Why would you let this woman do this? But that's the thing. When religious people who have a religious mindset look at this, they think the money would have been better spent for the poor. But God looks at your heart. He looks at what's on the inside. And Jesus saw this oil as a sweet offering. And it was so important that this must be preached. This must be preached, which means if we actually leave this out, if we go years preaching the gospel and we leave this out, we're actually doing a disservice to people by not teaching them on giving the alabaster box. They're missing out on their breakthrough. They're missing out on what the Lord has for them. And the woman knew that the anointing was greater than any oil or any money. And, you know, I've actually never heard the next three verses taught in an alabaster box offering message. But let's go to verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him, him being Jesus. So in a matter of just moments here, you've got one woman pouring everything she has out on the feet of Jesus. She's got everything she has, this alabaster box, this year's wage being poured out on Jesus because she honors and respects the anointing and she sees what he's about to do for us. She knew. She knew. And then you've got Judas who traveled with her, traveled with Jesus as a disciple for 3 years. And just like that, for 30 pieces of silver, which was only worth 64 cents a piece, which is a total of $19 in our currency. So for $19, Judas turns Jesus over to the religious people to kill him. When the alabaster box was worth about $51. So she poured out something worth more on Jesus. And Judas, you can see where their hearts are different. One woman's treasure was God. One woman's treasure was Jesus, the anointing. One man's treasure was the money. He said he didn't respect and honor what was in front of him. So, lastly, I'm going to turn to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and then also verse 24. You know, one thing I wanted to point out, you can walk with Jesus daily for years and still be held back by things of this world. You can walk with Jesus on a daily basis and everybody on the outside will think you are the greatest gift to the body of Christ. But then when it comes down to it, you sell them out. So to present the question without sounding harsh, are you a sellout? Are you going to sell yourself out? Are you going to sell Jesus out? Do you honor Jesus enough? And that's just a matter of the heart. But Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that verse came to mind when I was thinking about Judas's heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This woman was storing up for herself treasures in heaven by breaking this alabaster box. And Judas was storing up treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves can break in and steal. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That was an example of two different people that decided in their heart they would serve two different things. One was God, one was mammon. So as you get ready to give today, I want you to just examine your heart. Just ask yourself, does God have my whole heart? Do I love Jesus with every part of my life? Not just telling people, not just making it look good on the outside, not posting an Instagram post that says whatever, John 3:16 on it. But when it comes down to it, do you actually love him and honor him? Matthew 6:33, as you get ready to give, I just want to read this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But before that, Jesus was just sharing about the lilies of the valley are clothed and the birds of the air have what they need to eat. So why are you worried? Jesus will provide every single one of your needs when you seek him first. So as you give today, know that every need will be met. And that you'll end up in a time of overflow and abundance, so that it's not just you meeting your own needs, but you'll get to a point where you'll be able to meet others' needs as well. Hallelujah. So we have these really great new offering envelopes that I thoroughly love. Sorry, they distracted me this morning. And on them, they have all the ways to give. So if you're watching online, we're going to post the ways to give. And one of the ways is New Freedom Church, newfreedomchurch-church.com/give. Text to give, 866-863-1948. Venmo, you can do NFC give, or by cash or check in your offering envelope. So while you get that ready, Father, I thank you for the sowers here today. I thank you for the seed sown. I thank you that you supply and multiply every seed. Thank you that you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So I thank you, Lord, that you would multiply the seed sown. I thank you that there would be an abundant harvest. I thank you that they would see breakthrough in every area of their life. And I thank you that they would live a life that is not held back by any earthly material thing, but that they would live wholly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll give everybody one more minute just to make sure we don't skip anybody. If you're watching online and you have a seed you want to give, but it's tied up or you can't send it in the mail or whatever it is, contact the church. There are ways to give that thing that you're feeling to give. It's important that you obey whatever the Lord's telling you immediately, because delayed obedience is disobedience to God. So if he's speaking to you to do something, do it. And I once heard somebody say, make sure you kill the thing before you put it on the altar so it doesn't come crawling off. So before you go to give something, make sure it's dead to you. That way you don't talk negatively on your seed. You don't want your seed dying in the ground. Amen. Well, let's get ready to give. Ushers, go ahead. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies this week. That from the seed sown today, there would be a harvest before next Sunday. Because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So what are you believing for this week? You should never sow without faith behind the seed. You should always sow with with faith and expectation. So, Father, thank you for the seed. Thank you for the people that have given today. Thank you for those online that even watch on the rerun that would give. I thank you that you bless them with an abundant harvest, that you bring it in 30, 60, and 100-fold, that you would rebuke the devourer for their sakes, that you would bless them beyond anything they could ever imagine, and they'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing. There we go. All right. I'm a little bit dangerous when it comes to electronics. That's probably why they don't let me preach too many Sunday mornings for that very reason. But anyway, it's an honor and a privilege to be here this morning and to fill this pulpit of New Freedom Church. Pastor David and Pastor Lacey send their love out to everybody. They are up in Telford, Pennsylvania, at Pastor Kurt's church. They are teaching on evangelism this morning. And so it is a blessing to have pastors who are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so let's just lift them up in prayer right now. Father God, I thank you for Pastor David and Pastor Lacey. I thank you for the examples that they are to this church and the examples that they are to the body of Christ. Lord, I ask a special blessing on them as they are in Pennsylvania this morning. Lord, I just ask that your Spirit will be poured out in that place there this morning, and that many souls will be set on fire for you, God, that many hearts will be turned and many people will become fishers of men. Many people will go out on the streets and bring people to Jesus. And so I thank you for using Pastor David and Pastor Lacey to ignite a fire in the hearts of those people that they are ministering to today. And Lord, I just ask you to protect them and bless them for their obedience to walk in your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, as Brother Caleb was ministering about the alabaster box, I too know about the alabaster box. It's about a matter of your heart. Does the Lord have your heart in every area? And see, when that lady poured out her alabaster box, it was actually preparing Jesus for his burial. But what it was doing, it was coating Jesus with a fragrance. It was coating his body with a fragrance so that it was a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And it was a sweet-smelling sacrifice not only for that lady when she poured it out, because it filled the room, that fragrance filled the room, but it was also a sweet-smelling sacrifice when our Lord and Savior was beaten. When that cat of nine tails was ripped across his back, I guarantee those soldiers smelt a different smell that day. They smelt that fragrance of that alabaster box, that myrrh that was poured on Jesus' body. And I know that that fragrance went up before God in heaven. And see, that's what it's all about here today. It's about, are we willing to give Jesus our all? Are we willing to pour it out? And I can guarantee that he is no man's debtor. When we pour it out, he always pours it back in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. The title of the message here today is, There is a River. How many of you, maybe when you were younger, would jump into the swimming pool or jump into the river and tell your friends, come on in, the water's fine? Even if the water wasn't so fine, you would still tell them that, right? I've had my daughter do that to me many times. She can stay in cold water, so she jumps on in, and then she tells me, Daddy, come on in, the water's fine. I'm like, yeah. So I stick my toe in. I'm like, no, the water is not fine. But eventually, with her encouragement, what do? I just go ahead and grin and bear it, and I don't just go in a little bit at a time. It's best just to jump all the way in and just experience that cold all at once, and then it goes away. And so that's what about the river of God here today. I'm here to tell you the water is fine. Come on in. Will you jump on in? Hallelujah. So our main text here today is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. The majority of the scriptures that I have for you today will be up on the screen. So let's read Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And that's actually a third of a mile. And he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. So you can see here that the water flowed from the temple of God, and that as it flowed, it got deeper. But you can see that we have a choice to make. At what depth are we going to enter in? Are we going to go in ankle deep? Are we going to go in knee deep? Are we going to go in waist deep? Or are we going to go in over our heads? I love verse 9 talking about the river of God. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. So I ask you, how deep will you go in the river? How long will you stay in the river? Will you get in the middle of the river, into the deep part, and get in the flow of the river? Because you can be in the river, on the edge of the river, and that's good because it tells us that there's trees on the edge of the river that produce good fruit. But also when you're on the edge of the river, you can hold on to the bank. And if you're floating down along the edge of the bank, Christy and Kaylee and I just were driving back up through Tennessee and into Virginia. We stopped at a stream. And I remember, you know, at the edge of the stream, there's a little bit of flow there. It was, you know, a very rocky stream. You could hear the noise, the waters flowing down through the rocks. But out in the center, if you got out there in the center, it was quite a flow. So you can stay up on the side and hold on to the rocks. You can be bounced along on the rocks. Or you can get out in the center, in the deep, and go with the flow. It's your call. Amen. Amen. So there is a river. Will you jump in? I'm reminded back when we were living in Florida and we were in Bible college, we didn't get many weekends off, but every now and then we would go away and try to do something as a family. And we went to a place called Homosassa Springs and River. And this was an amazing springs. It's actually three springs that flow up out of the ground and then come together to form this river that flows out into the Gulf of Mexico. And where this main spring comes up out of the ground, they have what's called a fishbowl. It's actually an observatory that you can go out, walk out on a pier, go to this fishbowl, and the fishbowl is down in water. And so you can see all the fish life around in this river. And there are thousands upon thousands of fish stacked like cordwood around this spring. And it is so amazing because these fish are actually, when they're out in the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of them are predators on each other. But when they're in that spring, there's peace. They were all just sitting there, just floating, just kind of hovering there, just stacked in there like unbelievable. I love to fish, and I love to fish in Florida. And seeing the snook and the jack, crevel that were in there, and it was all kinds of different fish, all kinds of species of fish, all stacked in there together. And I was talking to an elderly gentleman there who volunteered there, and he says, it's amazing because these fish will come in, and many of them will have wounds on them. And they'll hang out here for a couple of weeks. And then the minerals in this spring will cleanse them. And they'll come out of here and those wounds will go away. And then they'll head on back out to the Gulf of Mexico. So I thought that was an amazing type here in the natural of what we get to see. Just think what happens in the river of God. If natural springs can cause healing for fish, and even the manatees, they even have manatees that come up into that river. If healing can happen for them, how much more can the river of God heal you and I? Come on, amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 46:4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. See, the Bible tells us that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so when you understand this, yes, there is a river in heaven with the city of God. But I'm here to tell you that that river also wants to flow to you today. Amen. Hallelujah. That river wants to come and cleanse us. That river wants to come and wash us clean. That river wants to come and fill us. Hallelujah. And then once we are filled, then we can share that river with others. We can go around to others and let them partake of the river that we have experienced. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 65:9 tells us, and this is speaking of the Lord, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. See, a river has many benefits to those around it. A river brings nutrients to the land around it. A lot of times the land right next to the river is the most fertile ground. I remember when we were living in Virginia many years ago, Christy's dad managed a beef farm, and that beef farm was down by the river, and that was some of the most fertile ground in the Shenandoah Valley because it was right there by the river. Grew tremendous corn crops. It also grew tremendous pasture for the cattle that were there. They were some of the fattest cows I've ever seen in my life. But that soil was so fertile. So the river brings nutrients to the soil. The river brings water to water that soil. Some guys would actually put irrigation pumps into that river and pump out of the river to water their crops. The river also brings power. In other words, when you have flow, people have learned how to control that river and bring electrical energy from it. So there's many benefits for a community. There's many benefits for a nation that come from a river. But you can see the river of God is full of water. It never runs out. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 41, 17 to 18, Isaiah the prophet tells us, the poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and dry land springs of water. So you can see that if there is a desert, that the Lord will water that desert. If you are going through a dry place in your life, the Lord will give you water. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just have to tap into that flow. I'm here to tell you that that flow is constantly flowing. It's up to us to tap into that flow. It's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I want all that you have for me. Lord, give me that water of life. Flow into me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is represented by water, wind, and fire. Today we're going to talk about the water aspect of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about wells of living water. It talks about rivers of life. It talks about fountains. It talks about the flow of the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out. It also talks about rain of the Holy Spirit. So you can see that there are many types in the Bible where water represents the Holy Spirit. But there's two main scriptures that I want to share with you about this, John 4 and John 7. So let's go to John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well. And it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." Thank you, Lord. So you can see that what that is talking about is when you get saved, when you say yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you actually receive a well of living water in your soul, in your heart. And that well of water springs up into everlasting life, or it guarantees that you have everlasting life. So that well is deposited, that well of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is deposited, the Spirit of God is deposited when you say yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it doesn't stop there. There is always more with God. You can always go deeper with God. Now, before we move from this well of salvation, Isaiah 12:3 tells us, "Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And so, just like Lauren experienced when she was walking with the Lord this week, that was joy. She was drawing forth from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to have that intimate, personal relationship with Him, where that we can tap into that whenever we need to. We can walk with Him. We can talk with Him. And He can lead us and guide us by His Spirit each and every day. Hallelujah. But as I said, there is more. See, you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But there's also a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that is talked about in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And this is Jesus speaking. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So you can see that at salvation you get a well or a spring of living water. But this is talking about rivers of living water. And I have always seen rivers as being bigger than wells. And so I'm here to tell you that God has more for each and every one of us. He wants to give us more of His Spirit. He wants us to have a bigger river. Not a bigger belly like I have been developing, but a bigger river. See, the Bible says, depending on the translation, out of your heart, or out of your belly, or out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And so He wants to come fill us with the Spirit of God so that rivers of life, rivers of water can flow to those around us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This scripture is not going to be up on the screen, but it's 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So when you say yes to Jesus, you become the temple of the living God. And so Jesus no longer, or the Spirit of God no longer dwells in the temple like in the Old Testament, but the Spirit of God now comes to live in you and me. And His Spirit lives in our spirit. And it gives us confirmation that we are children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And when you have that confirmation, you live differently. You walk and talk differently. You give differently. Just like Brother Caleb was talking about in the offering message. Your priorities change. Things that you used to do, you want no part of anymore. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. I'm not the same man I used to be. When the Spirit of God got a hold of me, I used to be a drunk, an alcoholic. I lived for the world. I lived to please my flesh. But when the Spirit of God got a hold of me, I realized that what I had been looking for, He had for me all along. And all I had to do was tap into that river. All I had to do was say yes to the river of God, to that river of life. And that's what He wants for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Will you let Him come and touch you today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now in John chapter 16, verse 7, it tells us, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Again, this is Jesus speaking. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." So Jesus was telling His disciples, because His disciples didn't want Jesus to live, and I can't blame them. You know, they were walking with the Creator of heaven and earth. They were walking with the Messiah. Why would they want something to happen to Jesus and they lose Him? And He leave them and go back up into heaven. But He told them that it is expedient for you that I go away, so then the Helper, the Holy Spirit, can come to you. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. And so when Jesus went away, the Spirit of God was actually given to Jesus so that He can pour it out to each and every one of us, whoever wants it. And so that's why it was expedient for Jesus to go back up into heaven, where He ever lives to make intercession for you and me. And what's He interceding for? He's wanting us to experience all that He paid for, all that heaven has for us. He wants us to experience this river of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And at that time, when He said that, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, I don't know if you understand the veil of the temple. From what they say, the veil of the temple was 4 inches thick. And for it to be ripped from top to bottom, you know, imagine a veil going all the way to the ceiling and separating this room in half. So on the back side of that veil was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the Spirit of God lived. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," that veil was ripped from top to bottom, releasing the Holy Spirit out into the earth. So that the Holy Spirit no longer had to live in a temple made with human hands. It came to live on the inside of you and me, whoever says yes to Jesus, whoever says yes to the Holy Spirit, whoever says yes to God the Father. Yes. Hallelujah. So in John 19, 33 through 34, this is when Jesus was on the cross. And the soldiers were going around to inspect Jesus and the two thieves who were on the cross. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was already dead, they did not break His legs. But the one soldier pierced His side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, isn't it amazing that the Bible, or that John, would record that blood and water came out when they pierced Jesus' side. If you think about that, the blood that flowed from Calvary is to cleanse us, to wash us, to cover us. But why would it also say water? I believe that it's talking about exactly what happened there, how the Holy Spirit was released, how that when Jesus said, "It is finished," and then the soldiers come along and pierce his side, and blood and water flow out, that the water flowing there is representative of now we have access to the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has paid the price for all of us to have access to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that was the start of the river flowing. That was the start of the grace of God flowing to each and every one of us. That was the start of the mercy of God flowing to us. That was the start of the love of God flowing to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Everything that we have need of is in that river. Rivers of healing, rivers of deliverance, rivers of peace, rivers of joy, and rivers of love. Hallelujah. Now this river, as I said, we have to want to partake of this river. But for many, this river becomes a river of offense, not the river of deliverance that it was meant to be. And so I want to read you a story in the Old Testament how that the river of offense was the, which was the river of deliverance, there was a guy named Naaman who did not want to partake of that river. So this is in 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. So we actually messed up when we sent this to Miss Kelly, so not all of this scripture is going to be up on the screen. But it's 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. Now Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, Wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So you can see that Naaman did not want to obey what the man of God was saying. Naaman did not want to obey what the Lord was asking him to do through the man of God. Naaman took offense to the Jordan River. You know, I'm sure he was saying that river is dirty compared to the rivers that are in Damascus. Or it's much easier for me to get to the rivers that are in Damascus. But for whatever reason, he was offended because the man of God told him a simple commandment to go dip into the river 7 times. But then he humbled himself and he said, I will go to the river. And he dipped 7 times and he was made whole. See, sometimes the very thing that we need for deliverance offends us. Sometimes the very thing that will bring healing to our lives, we run away from. Sometimes we can even be right there by the river. Sometimes we can even be in the river and still turn away from it. We have to be ever mindful of the Spirit of God. We have to tap into the Spirit of God. Just like Brother Joe was talking about at this past Wednesday's Bible study. He was talking about that not everything is expedient for us. That we have to pray and know that what we are doing is what God wants us to do. See, Naaman wanted to do it in his flesh. He wanted to go his own way. But he had to humble himself and go God's way and get in God's river. And that's what each of us has to do. We have to humble ourselves and go the way that God has for us, the way that God wants us to go and get in the flow. Hallelujah. Romans 9:33 tells us, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Who is this talking about here? This is talking about Jesus. And so, those who are not offended by Jesus will not be put to shame. But we know that in Jesus' day, many people were offended by him. Many of the religious people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, were offended by what Jesus was preaching and teaching, and that he healed on the Sabbath, God forbid. And so they didn't want anything to do with the river of life that was standing right there in front of them. They rejected him. They turned away from him. But I'm here to tell you today that we don't have to turn away from him, and we can partake of the Holy Spirit, which he released to us. And that Spirit is so wonderful. Because as a river, you know, a river flows, but a river fills in the gaps. Where we are weak, he is strong. That river comes and makes us better. You know, where normally we couldn't get something done. You can tap into that river in each and every day of your life, in the workplace, wherever the Lord has you. There's many times when I'm at work and I'm faced with a problem that I know that in my own strength I can't handle it. But I pray, I say, Lord, I need you now. I need you, Holy Spirit, to come and give me the strength to get this job done. I need you to give me the wisdom to get this job done. And I'm telling you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there every time you call on His name. Hallelujah. But you have to call on Him. You have to tap into what He has for you. But then He will show you may be going one way, but the river will sometimes shift and go a different way. And you have to be sensitive to the Spirit to go that different way if He tells you to do that. Because His way is the way of life. And His way is so much easier than our way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The very thing that many people need for healing of spirit, soul, and body, they are offended by. They're offended by Jesus. They're offended by the church. You know, many will start out on fire. They will start coming to church, but then they don't jump all the way in. Or they do jump all the way in, but then they pull back. See, we have to go all the way in and we have to stay all the way in. But many receive a touch from God. They say yes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But then when the Holy Spirit wants to lead them into the deeper things of God, they get nervous. They draw back. They pull back. See, the Holy Spirit wants to give us all that God has for us. The Holy Spirit wants to take us to greater heights, to deeper levels in God. But when we pull back, when the things of the Spirit begin to move, we start saying, that's crazy. That's whack. Who would ever do that? Well, I can tell you that when I lived in the world and I partook of the things of the world, I went all the way in. I was 110%er. I wanted everything that the world had to offer, and I wanted it, and I went all the way. See, some people will take a couple sips of alcohol, but I would take many sips of alcohol until that I passed out, until I was out of my mind. So if I can do that when I'm in the world, I can certainly do that when I'm in Jesus. Hallelujah. So I have experienced all that the world has to offer. And then when I got up the next morning, I felt like hell. But I've also experienced what God has to offer. And the next morning, you don't get up feeling like hell. And you're not hugging that porcelain throne. Hallelujah. So God wants to take us further. He wants to give us more of His river. He wants to give us more of His Spirit. Hallelujah. I've got to tell you this funny story. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. But my dear wife is always there to support me, to lift me up, to try to make things better for me. And about a year and a half ago, we had this bed that was just killing me. Like, I would wake up feeling terrible. And so she went online and did a bunch of research and found this bed that was supposed to really make you feel better while you slept. And it did help for the first few months. It was better than what we had. But then the weird part was, here for about the past 6 months, every time I'm in the bed, when I get up in the morning, it felt like I've been hit by a Mack truck, just stiff and sore. And so I was to the point of cursing the bed. So I told her, and I would even sleep on the couch a couple nights a week just so I was getting sleep during the night. A couple nights during the week. So it got so bad here last weekend, I was like, we got to do something. And so we went on our anniversary last Monday to Sleep Number. We were looking at a new bed. That's got to be the solution. So we walk in there, and the lady's questioning us about our current bed. And she says, "So, you know, how do you sleep? How do you, how are you sleeping?" And my wife told her that it's an adjustable bed. And so she asked, "Do you ever adjust it? Do you ever put yourself in a different position when you're in the bed?" I said, "No, I've always slept the way I've always done it, flat. You know, why would I want to adjust the bed?" So, but it kind of hit me when she said that. And so she gave us the price for the new bed, and I was like, "Well, that's pretty expensive. It must be good." But anyway, when I got home that afternoon, I'm like, "Yeah, tonight I'm going to adjust the bed." So it has a zero gravity setting on the bed. Well, it was one of the better night's sleep I've had in years. And here I've been in the bed for a year and a half, and I'm not partaking of all the bed has to offer me. And for the past, you know, 4 nights, I have been getting great sleep. Amen. All because I used what the bed had to offer. I adjusted the bed. I went with the flow of the bed. So now we don't have to get a new bed. I can use what I already had. But isn't that how many of us are in the body of Christ? We are already in the church. We've been doing it this way all of our lives. We're not willing for adjustments. And see, the Lord wants to do adjustments in our lives that make it better for us. Hallelujah. Acts 2:33. This is talking about Jesus. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." See, this was on the day of Pentecost. This was 50 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And he had told his disciples after 40 days of him being on the earth and appearing to his disciples, he told them, "Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit." And so they had tarried for 10 days in Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And see, this is where many people question the move of the Holy Spirit. Earlier there in Acts chapter 2, it tells us the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. See, many people are offended by other tongues. They're offended by people speaking in tongues. Other people that heard them speaking in tongues said that these men are full of new wine. So it looked like these men were drunk. So, yes, I have been so touched by the Spirit of God that I appear to be drunk. Pastor David has had to carry me out of multiple services. My wife has had to carry me out of services. And you say, "Well, you're just crazy." You say, "Who would ever do that? God would never do that to anybody." See, the devil is a counterfeiter of what God wants to do. The devil always gives you a different option for what God wants to do. So if God wants to pour his river into you, to pour his new wine into you, and when you partake of that new wine, you act like you're overcome, the devil counterfeited that with spirit and wine, with wine and spirits. So you decide which one you partake of. And I'm here to tell you that the wine of heaven is way better than the wine of this world. I've tried them both. And you don't get a hangover with the wine of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, he said, "These are not drunk as you suppose. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." And so you can see there that Peter is talking about the Spirit of God raining down on us. And the Spirit of God rains down on us so that the sons and the daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. So the Spirit of God wants to move on us. But you can see that these are not drunk as you suppose, but they had to be acting like they were drunk. They had to be overcome by the Holy Spirit. And see, many were offended that very day because this can't be God. God would never touch people this much. I'm here to tell you, when God touches you, when He truly touches you, you have no control over what you look like. Hallelujah. You have no idea what He wants to do in your life if you will just yield to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, He doesn't do it so that you go around acting drunk all the time. He wants to touch His children, just like we want to touch our earthly children. You know how you hug on your children, how you love on your children, how you tickle your children. God wants to do that to you. Will you let Him touch you today? Will you let Him walk hand in hand with you like Lauren was experiencing? Yeah, it may not always be that you're in a drunken stupor after God touches you. But He wants to meet you each and every day. Will you let Him touch you? Will you let Him fill you? In Jesus' name. The other thing that I want to say about the touch of God, about Him touching you like that, it's for a purpose. It's not just so that you can get addicted being touched like that. It's so that you can get filled up. See, we are vessels of the living God. And so when He touches you like that, it's so that you then go and touch other people, so that you then go and minister to other people. It's not about you. Yes, it's wonderful to experience the touch of God. Yes, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want that in your life. But then you have to do something with it. You have to go out. You have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, just like Pastor David and Pastor Lacey are doing today. See, we have these Holy Ghost services on Sunday nights. And it's a time where you can come and experience a touch from heaven. When you get in that corporate anointing where people are hungry and thirsty for God, He will meet you where you're at. Do not miss out on what God wants to do. Do not miss out on these services. Go all the way in with God. Be here every time the doors are open. Partake of all that God has for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament prophesied about rivers in the desert. I want to read you these three scriptures. Isaiah 43:19. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." See, many people say that we live in a dry and thirsty land. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to put rivers in this desert. And we are those rivers. Hallelujah. And as we let our river flow, as each of us lets our rivers flow, then the river becomes bigger. The river gathers in more people. The river touches more people. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 44:3, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." Isaiah 48:18, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Do not be offended by what God wants to do in your life. Find out about the Holy Spirit. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Read about the Holy Spirit. Back when I was living like the world, I hit rock bottom. I was trying to drink myself to death. My wife had told me that she couldn't take it anymore. And she had every right to tell me that. She had every right to say enough was enough. And so the night that she told me that, I was on the way out the door to go get more booze, to essentially divorce her. I didn't need her. I didn't need what she had to offer. But as I stepped through the door, I heard a voice just as loud as me speaking to you here today. And it said, "Son, if you go through that door, you'll be lost forever." It was like someone punched me in the gut. And it stopped me in my tracks. And thank God I turned around and went back into the living room and dropped to my knees. And I said, "God, if you will save me and save my marriage, I will serve you forever." That was in 2009. And I can tell you that from that day, I've done everything in my power to serve Him to the best of my abilities. But where I miss it, He fills in the gaps. The Spirit of God comes and fills in the gaps. But then I got hungry for God. My wife always says, "Be careful what you pray for," because she had been praying for me for years. "Be careful what you pray for, because the Lord might actually answer your prayers." And so I was going one direction this way, headed straight toward hell. But when I had that head-on collision with Jesus Christ, I turned and went 180 degrees the other direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I went after the Lord and everything He had with all of my heart. I went all in for Him. I wanted everything that the Bible said I could have. And my wife, at that point, she's like, "What is wrong with this guy? Here he's a drunk when he's over here living in the world, and now he's going crazy for the Lord, going this direction." But I'm here to tell you that when you get hungry and thirsty for the things of God, He will meet you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. In 2011, January 4th of 2011, I was flipping through the channels, and Christian Television Network had a program on it called The Great Awakening. And so I started watching it. Drove my wife crazy. She was like, "These people are nuts. They're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. They're talking about being filled with the fire of God and then going out on the streets and being a witness for Jesus." She's like, "This is not God. This is crazy." So she would go in the other room, put on her earmuffs, so that she couldn't hear what the preachers was saying on the program. Well, anyway, I finally got to the point in February, toward the end of February of 2011, I said, "I'm going down there to this church, and I'm going to find out if this is real or not." So I asked several people to go with me. No one would go, including my wife, which is fine. So the day before, February 23rd, I was supposed to be at BWI about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, there was a major accident on Route 97, shut the road down, and I could not get to the airport on time. So I missed my flight to Florida. So I was stuck in the airport for 6 hours till the next flight. So I read the whole book of Acts while I was sitting there, because I said, if this is real, I want it. But if it's not real, I don't want it. But I read through the book of Acts, and everything that this church was talking about, I found in the Word of God. So when I got down to Florida that night, it was too late. They were having services all that week, so I totally missed the service. But the next day, February 24th of 2011, they had a soul-winning training class in the afternoon, and so I went to it. And so they taught you how to go out on the streets. They had a soul-winning script that many of you have used here. And that soul-winning script, you know, they trained you how to present it to people and to lead them to Jesus. So then at the end of the class, they said, now, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, come forward. We want to pray for you. Essentially, they wanted to ignite you before you went out on the street. And so I had read in the book of Acts how it talked about people being touched by the Holy Ghost, how it talked about people speaking in other tongues and prophesying when they were touched by the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, I want all that you have for me. So I went forward. So Pastor Daniel McGee was leading the soul-winning training class that day. And when he got to me, he was going down the line laying his hands on people. But for whatever reason, when he got to me, he said, I'm not even going to lay my hands on you, but the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to be filled to overflowing. See, when you think about it, it takes you back to that very place. It takes you back to what you experienced. But anyway, he said, now be filled. He said, raise your hands now, be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so when I lifted my hands, it was like liquid oil or liquid love just came down on me. And the next thing I knew, I was out on the floor. I was speaking in other tongues. I was crying and I was laughing uncontrollably. And I was stuck to the floor for 3 hours. You say, weren't you in a soul-winning training class supposed to go out on the street? Yes, I was supposed to go out on the street that day. But Pastor Daniel knelt down by my ear. He said, son, you stay right here because the Lord has a special touch for you. I was stuck to the floor, but I can tell you, I experienced the river of God that day. I felt the love of God. I felt the love of Jesus pour into me like never before. It was like He was standing over me with buckets of love and pouring it into me. He was like, son, you've been running from me for 25 years, but you've come back. And see, that's what He wants to do for each and every one of us. It's not a one-time thing. He wants to touch us with His love. He wants to fill us with His love so that we can go out and share the love of God with others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that touch of God has caused me to do many crazy things. It caused me to give up my job as a veterinarian. It caused me to sell out my shares in a thriving veterinary clinic. It caused me to move my family to Florida. It calls me to go after the call of God on my life. It calls me to come back here It calls me to build a building on my property so that other people can experience the touch of God just like I did. What does God want to do for you? What does God want to do in you and through you? Will you yield to His Spirit today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't even planning on sharing my testimony today. But you got to know that the touch of God is real. You got to know that it's not a game. You got to know that He has plans and purposes for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, it might not be giving it all up and going to Bible college. Just because you get touched does not mean that has to happen. But I'm here to tell you today, when He touches you, your life will never be the same. And you're going to walk and talk differently. You're going to think differently. You're going to have different priorities in your life. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. I always say, when I was out on the power, under the power of God that day, stuck to the floor for 3 hours, that after I got up, there was a chalk line drawn on the ground of where the old man died that day. Yes, I was already saved before I got there. Theoretically, I was already dead. But I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost touched me like He did that day, I died to self. Anything the Lord wanted, He could have. Anything He wants, He can have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we can become fruitful trees when we are planted in the river of God. And then when we plant in the river of God, we can get into the flow of the river of God. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for people wanting to be planted by the rivers of water here today. Thank you, Lord, for people bearing fruit in this season in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this church prospering in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." See, we can either do it God's way or our way. When we do it God's way, we get in the flow. We get in the river of God. And it's so much easier. When we do it our way, we're broken cisterns, and we don't hold as much water as we could. And so it's up to us today, which way are we going to do it, God's way or our way? Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We have to tap into this flow of the Holy Ghost. Just like natural rivers flow, so does the river of the Holy Ghost flow. We have to learn to receive this love of God in us. We have to learn to then give out this love of God, this river of life, this river of living water. The word flow means to move freely from one place to another, and to move in a steady stream or movement. But see, when you're flowing with God, you're not forcing things. You're just going where He tells you to go. You can be going about your daily work your daily job, your daily life, and all of a sudden he tells you, go do this or go do that. Don't read your Bible this morning, but spend time with me. It was worth it, wasn't it? God is not about routines. He's not about doing it the same old way. His mercies are new each and every day.
That's right.
We just have to find out what he has for us each and every day.
Amen.
And be obedient when he says move or flow this way or that. Hallelujah. This verse is not going to be up on the screen, but it's Galatians 5:16. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, and then you will not carry out the desire of the sinful nature. So we can either be bodies totally filled and flooded with God, where that we follow after God, or we can live in the flesh. So you learn to live out of your spirit. You learn to live out of your innermost being, your belly, when you see things or hear things that are not right. It immediately gives you a check in your spirit. And you know, no, I don't want any part of that. No, I don't want to listen to that. No, I don't want to go to that place. But when you push off the Holy Spirit, when you push off, when you get out of the river, then your flesh starts to take over. Your flesh starts to become stronger and pull you in wrong directions.
Yeah.
So it's up to us. What are we going to yield to? Are we going to yield to God? Are we going to yield to our flesh? Like one of my Bible school professors said, your flesh is a pig. Are you going to yield to your flesh? Or are you going to yield to God? There is a river in heaven. It is described in Revelations in three different places in the book of Revelation. I want to read you about those. Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. As Pastor Joe was saying earlier, we can't earn it. It's a free gift. We just have to say yes. Just think about Christmas morning when someone goes to give you a gift and you just turn and walk away. Or you say, yes, thank you. I will take that gift. I will take all that you have for me. Revelation 22:1-2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And then in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord's Prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm here to tell you today that that river of God is not future tense. That river of God is available here today. Will you not be offended by that river? Will you partake of that river? See, many kingdoms and nations have a river in it, a big river in it. Think about the Zambezi River in Africa or the Nile River in Egypt. or the mighty Mississippi in the USA. But the kingdom of God is no different. It has a river. It is the river of life. Will you jump in today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm here to let that river flow out of me today. I'm here to let that river flow out of those who are watching online. I'm here to tell you that you can partake of the river of God because God loves you and Jesus paid the price on Calvary's tree. He paid the price so that you can partake of the grace and mercy and love of God. Yes, God loves you and He has a great plan for your life. But I'm here to ask you a very important question today. If today was your last day on earth, are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? See, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you all are whosoever's. I'm definitely a whosoever. So I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice with a long and healthy life. And Jesus, make yourself real to them and do a quick work in their heart. If they have not received you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, or if they have grown cold and are not serving you with all their heart, I pray that they will receive you now or rededicate their life to you now, Jesus. So friends, if you would like to receive this free gift that God has for you today, say this with me with your heart and lips out loud. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Jesus, thank you that you're coming back again for me. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now say, I'm saved. I'm born again, and I'm forgiven. And I now have that well of everlasting life inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm here to tell you today, if you said that prayer and meant it with all of your heart, then all of your sins are forgiven. Always run to God and not from God, because He loves each and every one of you. And He has a great plan for your life. And He wants that river to flow in you and flow out of you. So we have a song for the altar time. I just want to tell those who are watching online that we love you. We encourage you to come out and be a part of church in person if you can. Because I can tell you that when you partake of that river of God, when you partake of many rivers of God that are sitting here, it increases your receiving. Do not be offended by this church. Do not be offended by the Holy Ghost. Come and receive all that God has for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you all could start that song when you get it pulled up. And what I would just tell you is, if you want to touch